Hi, I'm Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Tefera Jemian.
And you're listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. This is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it.
Our mandate is simple: to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great. Every week, we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests. The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, There's no such thing as bad food.
Before we dig in, we'd like to take a minute to acknowledge two things. The first is that we have Toby in the studio with us today, and he is small, and he is soft, and he is nice, and he may make some sounds in the background and possibly also in the foreground at some point. And the second is that the studio where we're recording is situated within the traditional and unsurrendered territories of the Ganyangahaga First Nations. As settlers, it's important that we remember that the lands we occupy are not our own, and that we engage in conversations that challenge the colonial mindset. We want to encourage you to take some time today and every day to reflect on your relationship with the land you live on and with the Indigenous communities of that area.
It is that time of year again. It is the time of year. If you don't know this by now, go back and listen to a couple of episodes where 16 foods go head-to-head in intense matchups week after week to determine which food deserves to win the title of Food of the Year. In addition to a great big food crown, the winner gets bragging rights and a bunch of extra content dedicated to it for the rest of our 2024 season. This is Munch Madness.
Before we dive in, we need to report the results of our latest social media tiebreaker round. So last week we had a tie between soup and sausages, and we asked you to vote over on Instagram at NoBadFoodPod. And with a staggering 62% of the vote, the winner is...
Soup!
I gotta say, Tom, I did not see that one coming. Not that I didn't see it coming. I did think there was a good chance of a soup victory, but I didn't see it being quite such a wipeout.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I was surprised that soup and sausage even ended in a tiebreaker because I had a feeling that both of our guest judges would vote sausage, honestly. Mm-hmm. So when it went to a tie, I was like, okay, it's still anybody's game. Mm-hmm. But then for soup to win with, you know, like double the vote count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for soup. Great.
And I've got to say, like, one of my favorite soups has sausage in it. So, you know, it was a close one for me. I've got to say, though, my hat was in soup's ring, and I am happy to see it progress.
Listen, if we have to do a year's worth of content about whoever wins this tournament, I would rather it be soup than sausage.
And I got to say, like, this is something that keeps coming up, and you'll see today with our guest judges, what comes up a lot is versatility.
Yeah.
That really seems to be the buzzword of 2024. People are interested in foods that are versatile, foods that can appear in many different forms and satisfy many different appetites. And frankly, in a time of like global recession, when everybody's struggling to make ends meet, I think it makes a lot of sense that we're looking for categories where you can be creative, where you can really use what you have. And soup absolutely hits that mark.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that's it, right? Like, soup is easier to have when you're broke than sausages.
And I mean, you know, you can make an argument for sausage also being something that you use to use up odds and ends. But I would say soup is a lot more accessible.
Well, that's it, right? Like, you don't need to be able to like grind your own soup and stuff your own soup into casings.
I suppose you could stuff soup into a casing.
Yeah.
You know, originally sausage was in casings for transportability and storage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not for eating.
Yeah. Well, and there are still like, I mean, if you think about like a blood sausage kind of situation, that is...
I try not to.
Sure, but that's a little soupier than your average brat. Anyway, rest in peace, sausage. Soup, we're excited to see where you go from here. Now, let's get down to the important stuff. We are moving into the quarterfinals this week. Hooray!
Woo!
This is where the matchups start to have some serious weight to them because the winners of each division in the quarterfinals move on to the semis, which means they will get a guaranteed spot in next year's tournament as part of the Champions Division, whether they win or not.
Woo!
That's huge.
That's huge.
That's a huge place to be.
This is a big round.
Half the foods that we talk about today will be lucky enough to move to the semis. The other half will not. That's just how the cookie crumbles. First up, we have our host choice division where we've got a sweet showdown. Tasty, yummy, sweet treats today.
Two of my favorite things in the ring.
Yeah. So will my pick, ice cream, stay cool? Or will Teffer's pick, chocolate, prove too sweet to be beat? We'll see. I think this one could go either way.
I love them both equally. Yeah. It's a tough choice. I'm glad I'm not judging this one.
Me too. I do not envy our judges for having to pick between these two. Mm-hmm. Frankly, two powerhouses. Frankly, all four today are powerhouses. Do you want to talk about the second one?
It's a real powerhouse. So I really think today's roundup is a comfort food showdown. Mm-hmm. First, we have the sweets category, ice cream versus chocolate, really difficult one to call. And then we have our battle of the starches and the People's Choice division. Now, we are used to people loving starches. Starches always do well in this competition. You know, we've seen a bread win for 2 years in a row. We saw a pasta win the first year. The only year that we have not had a starch winner has been cheese, and cheese does not actually appear in this year's bracket at all.
It's true.
So in the battle of the starches, again, we have two giants of culinary fame. We have two classics of comfort food. And we are going to see second seed potatoes, seed potatoes, face off against fourth seed rice. Both of these are arguably seeds. No matter what happens today, tears will be shed. People will be angry. Oh my God, both of these have such hefty fan clubs.
Yeah.
Really curious because rice, I know we've said it before, I will say it again. Rice has a cult following, and every single year we have angry people storming our door demanding a rice win. So, you know, let's see what happens. Which staple starch will move forward towards a shot at glory? There's only one way to find out, so let's throw it to our first guest judge. All right, so with us today to make this critically important decision, we have Cupcake Dex. You may have heard her on our show before. She's a repeat guest and longtime friend of the show. And she is a Pokemon food creator and a weekly streamer on Twitch. You can see all her beautiful, beautiful Pokemon goodies at Cupcake Dex on Instagram. Dex, thank you for joining us.
Tepper, thank you so much for having me. It's so exciting to be back on No Bad Food once again. And once again, to make another very difficult decision or set of decisions.
We really have had some doozies in this round. This year has been like stacked. And, you know, I mean, Mountain Dew just got knocked out. So we have a different competition than might have been. But we have some really, I feel like I say this every week this year, we have heavy hitters.
Absolute heavy hitters, some real like powerhouses in this competition. And I have really enjoyed seeing what gets chosen and what gets eliminated every week.
So speaking of what gets chosen and what gets eliminated, let's move right into our first matchup. This is a tough one for me. What do we love? We love a little treat.
Who doesn't love a little treat, y'all?
Everyone loves a little treat. And today we have to choose between maybe the two monarchs of little treats. In fact, ice cream. The reigning treatsies, ice cream and chocolate.
Ooh, boy, this is an interesting one. The second y'all told me what was going head to head, I knew people are going to be mad no matter what I choose. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to all have to live with the consequences, Teffer. That's just the way it's going to have to be.
Yeah, somebody's got to go home at the end of the day. Somebody's got to go home, and it's not always an easy choice.
No, someone's getting kicked off this island, and it is either chocolate or ice cream. I don't even know where to begin on this one because both of these options are so powerful.
They are. I just had a sort of a creative idea of how to approach this one. I'm sure you also have your own approach, but the way you said it made me think, if they were personalities, who do you think would be nicer to share an island with?
Okay. I already know.
All right.
Here's the thing. Chocolate is so versatile. She is good for all weathers, for all situations. She can take so many different forms. You can have her in the summer. You can put her in whatever, in some kind of cool treat, in ice creams, in sorbets, as a nice little chocolate sauce. Mm-hmm. You can have her in the winters as a hot chocolate, which is, in my opinion, the best hot drink. Come after me, internet. I will fight you in the behind the Denny's.
I'll join you.
Excellent.
Join you. Yes. Yeah, behind the Denny's.
She's ready to go. Like, Chocolate is good for so many things. She can be the star. She can also be kind of like on the sidelines. She is ready to help with whatever challenge you've got. Like, Chocolate is just so, so versatile. Mm-hmm. And I love that for her. And like, sometimes in like really minor ways, you know, that you can just add, like, you know, so often you think of chocolate in desserts, but did you know you can have chocolate in curry and it like enhances the flavor?
Ooh.
Like, what?
That sounds amazing. Adds, like, I know about mole, but like, that sounds incredible.
It's so lovely and it's like so subtle, you barely notice it, but like, it does something. I don't know what it does, but it does something based on my experience. Mm-hmm. Chocolate is like, can be there for you in so many ways. And like, no matter what your challenges are on the island, like, you know, she's going to help you get to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, Ice Cream. I think that if your episode of Survivor takes place in the summer, she is going to be a huge asset on your island. You want her on your team at every possible opportunity, because in the summertime, you just want to eat ice cream every day. You want to have your sorbets, your sherbets. I definitely said that wrong. And not to mention like your blizzards, your smoothie thingies. Like, in the summertime, if I am not having like my DQ blizzard every week, then like, it's not, I'm doing summer wrong, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But like, any other time of the year, ice cream gets dicey. Mm-hmm. Like, in the fall time, yeah, I'm not craving ice cream. I want something warm to make me feel better about the fact that we're headed into the most miserable time of the year. Mm-hmm, in winter, it's hard. It's cold outside. We're in Canada, Teffer.
I know.
I don't need ice cream for that. Mm. I could just go outside. I could just stick my face out the window. I'm good. I don't need anything else. Springtime, maybe. When there's days in the spring like we've had recently where like it is really warm, maybe those days, yes, a little ice cream. That sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great. But to me, ice cream is a fair weather friend. And most hurtful of all, Teffer, I have very sensitive teeth.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. This is hugely impacting my decision. I use my sensitivity toothpaste every day of my life, and it is still hit or miss whether or not I can tolerate my bowl of ice cream day to day. And that sucks, because ice cream is amazing. You could put so many wonderful things in ice cream, but ice cream is the star of the show. Unlike chocolate, like, you know, ice cream is gonna be your star. If it's a summer season of Survivor, apparently this is Survivor. Absolutely. If it's the summer season of Survivor, she's gonna be the star of like every episode. And when she's around, everyone else is just like playing a bit part in her life. Mm-hmm. You know, we chop up a little bit of like cookies and brownies or frozen fruits and we throw them in with her, but she is the star and they're just there to augment her.
Mm-hmm.
She has to be the star. If you order some kind of dessert, if you order like a sundae, she's the main part of it. Everything else in the sundae is like, that's nice, but it's about her.
Absolutely. I have to confess, I am also a sensitive teeth girly. I just don't use my teeth when I eat ice cream, because I'm very committed to ice cream. Like, I hear and I respect everything you're saying. I eat ice cream year round. Like, full disclosure, Tom and I eat ice cream almost every night. Don't tell our children.
I love it.
But like, almost every night we are eating ice cream and watching TV. And this is like the longest running tradition in our relationship. This has been like from day one.
Love that.
So for me personally, you know, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. I really do. I think I maybe have a little bit of a deeper connection to ice cream than some do.
Because it sounds like you've learned how to eat ice cream without your teeth, and I'm going to need to know your technique.
So it's all about the tongue.
Audience, I hope you're ready. I'm so curious if this all right, is going to stay like, in this episode.
There's two options, right? Of course this will stay in the episode. The people need to know.
Yes.
There's two options. One is you're eating ice cream with a spoon, which is my most frequent way of eating ice cream. I'm usually eating it with a spoon. So you take your little, you use a small spoon. Not a big spoon.
Small spoon.
I have really small mouth. I have the kind of like jaw that every time I see a new dentist, they're like, oh, wow, your jaw is very petite. Can you please go get the child films? And then they do my x-rays with child films. So a little teeny tiny jaw. So I use a teeny tiny spoon. And you take the spoon, you put it in your mouth, and I like slurp it off with my lips. I don't use my teeth. I like slurp it with my lips and then just like, my tongue just like takes it into my mouth and I kind of like moosh it with my tongue.
Oh my God.
And then
have you, oh my God. No, so, please, sorry, please, please continue. Please, this is so intriguing.
And then if it's a cone, like that's where it's all about the tongue, right? Mm. Because you want to really get slurpy. Like you're kind of like being like, you know when a horse takes like an apple out of your hand?
So sad I haven't had this experience.
So when you give a horse an apple... First of all, you have to hold it out on your outstretched palm. Like you have to have your hand completely flat.
What?
Because horses have big teeth and they really might get excited about the apple and take your finger off because they don't notice it, right? It's not because they want your finger. But
right.
You hold the apple out and the horse, if it's being gentle and not biting your finger, they just kind of like the people at home can't see this, but I'm like sticking my lips way out. And they just kind of
they're
like,
diagonal. Your lips are kind of diagonal.
Yeah, they kind of like open the lips and they kind of like scoosh them out. If you've ever seen a horse, like a picture of a horse, just like with the teeth together and the lips like out, that's what they do. And they're almost like prehensile lips. And they just like wrap them around the apple and then pull them into their mouth and crunch, crunch, crunch.
Wow.
And this is like an early, early memory of mine. But that's, you essentially just have to approach it like a horse.
Like a horse. Eat ice cream like horse.
And like, it's, I have developed this because I have sensitive teeth and I will be damned if they prevent me from eating ice cream.
I love this.
Because, yeah, wow. I hate it if I have to bite ice cream. Like thinking about biting ice cream to me is like thinking about like styrofoam. Like oof. I have the same, oof. It has the same effect on me.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I kind of get that.
So you really just like, so okay, but do you know the proper way to eat an ice cream cone?
No.
Do
you know what's what?
The proper way? I feel passionately about this.
I'm so excited to learn new ways of consuming ice cream. Let's hear it.
So you start with it. If it's a little wobbly in the cone, you start by like, you take your tongue and you just kind of flatten on top and just like shove it a little more into the cone.
Oh, okay.
With your tongue.
Oh, that way, because it's always just sitting on top of the cone, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't get it like really into that cone.
I feel bad for the people at home for not getting all these visuals because I'm really making
it's
the face.
It's a treat, audience. You're missing out.
And then when you smash it down, you'll get like a little rim of ice cream right around the cone because it like scrapes it up a little bit. So then you go and you lick all the way around. The cone.
All
the way around.
Whole circumference.
And then just rinse and repeat. You just keep doing that. So you lick around and then you push it down and lick around and then you push it down and lick around. And then eventually you get down so that the ice cream's level with the cone, which is when things really get exciting.
right. Because then you can start consuming cone with ice cream.
And it's so exciting.
Absolutely.
And because you've been smushing it down into the cone, you have your cone completely full of ice cream.
Okay. Here's what I want to raise with ice cream in a cone. Is not half of the joy of the ice cream in a cone is admiring the absolute height that they give you the ice cream and the way that ice cream is so often swirled into this big, tall little tower that you slowly chip away at. Is that not such a part of the inherent joy of the ice cream cone?
Absolutely. But I don't think you lose that with this method.
Okay.
Because you're not smooshing it down a lot. It's just like a little bit at a time.
Fascinating.
And it just keeps it, like, I don't know. I feel like this is how my mother taught me to eat ice cream cones so that I wouldn't knock them off the cone onto the ground as a child. Like, because you don't.
That's
you can't.
Genius.
Like, you don't, but you're not, like, ever pushing it, like, off the cone as you eat it. You're always, that pressure is always going inwards.
You got to be rotating. The rotation of the cone, obviously.
Yeah.
It's important. That is so funny. All right, favorite flavor of ice cream, Taffer. Let's hear it.
Oh, God. All right. It is documented that I love the Strawberry Bobby Hoggy Doggy. I really love Strawberry Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I really do. However, I will say that like the prime season for that for me is the summer. In the summer, I really like the fruit ice creams and especially strawberry. I just think there's nothing like a good strawberry ice cream. these days, wintertime, having feelings, I have been going for cookie dough a lot.
See, that's where I'm.
Yeah.
I'm a cookie dough girly. That's mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I was a child, all I would eat, the only ice cream I would eat was vanilla. And then slowly I learned the joys of cookie dough.
Yeah.
And that was my gateway drug into my now, I think my absolute favorite currently is the Dairy Queen Blizzard that is Reese's Pieces. Oof. With caramel and pretzels.
Oh, and my God. I see a Dairy Queen trip in my future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, if they bring this back, you gotta experience it. I think I had it at least four times last summer. I don't know. It may have been seasonal.
Yeah.
Some of their things are seasonal.
Yeah.
Audience, if you can get your hands on this absolute monstrosity, it is so good. That sweet and that salty all together.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There was one point at which we were eating ice cream in bed, as we do, and Tom was eating the Ben and Jerry's Netflix and Chill. Do you know this one?
I've heard of it. I don't know what's in it.
So you'll probably like it because it's a if you like peanut butter, if you can eat peanuts, it's a peanut butter ice cream, and it has both chocolate and pretzels. And I can't remember exactly the breakdown of it, but it's just really good. And Tom really likes it. Tom really likes pretzels. And we're sitting there eating, and then Tom just gives this big sigh and goes, "You know, I wanted pretzels and I wanted ice cream and I couldn't decide between them. And now I get to eat ice cream with pretzels. It's a good world."
Dreams do come true.
Ice cream can make dreams come true. And I do actually want to come back to what you were saying before about having started with vanilla ice cream, because I think vanilla ice cream is underrated. Horribly underrated. I will always go for vanilla ice cream. If somebody's like, "Here, would you like some nice vanilla ice cream?" I'm going to be like, "Yes." Like 100% of the time.
Dang. It's so funny because now I'm like, I want like anything but vanilla a lot of the time. I want to try something else. Like, I'm ready. Not everything. Yeah. I'm still, you know, I'm not quite into that matcha green tea ice cream.
It's an acquired taste. It's very grassy.
Like an acquired taste. Yeah. But like, there are so many beautiful flavors. But like, vanilla is underrated. Like, we don't stop to appreciate how wonderful vanilla is. Just
it's beautiful.
Generally.
I think we need to remember that vanilla is from an orchid. Like, vanilla is the bean of an orchid. Like,
I did not know that.
We don't appreciate this enough. Yeah.
Oh.
But it seems like despite all of this, your vote is still leaning for chocolate.
So after this conversation, am I a little bit more on the fence? Yes. We have not talked about chocolate at all, and I feel a little guilty about it. So I need to talk about it just to make sure I know who I'm voting for, because, wow, the case for ice cream has become very strong, and I want it very badly now.
But you had a very strong case for her at the beginning. So let's go back to your girl chocolate.
Let's go back to chocolate. So chocolate can go in like so many things. It comes in so many forms, whether like a nice chocolate bar, whether as a sauce that you can drizzle over a dessert, whether in a drink, which again is just the best hot drink is hot chocolate. Fight me. I don't actually care about chocolate milk. I love milk so much. I don't think I've ever had chocolate milk.
I love
Maybe
chocolate
it is
milk.
Actually time for me to try. Just
chocolate
to be sure.
Milk is lovely in the summer because it's like, it's just, apparently it's like really good for you. They give it to people after races now because it's like so good at replenishing your body.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Gonna look into this more.
As a hypoglycemic babe, I'm always looking for little snacks that will restore me.
Dang. Yeah. Okay. That's important.
Yeah.
Man. And like also the versatility of chocolate with ice cream. Once ice cream melts, it's done. But with chocolate, if you can temper it correctly, you melt it down, you keep it at temper, and then you like pour it into a mold, and then you get like cute little like chocolate turtles or chocolate hearts or like in my case a chocolate Pokeball or a chocolate Pikachu. Like, there's so much that you can do with chocolate in that way, and just like you could just make it a shell and then you fill that shell with like sprinkles and like you take a little hammer and then you smash your chocolate shell. Ice cream could only dream. And also, okay, this is actually an interesting thought. In terms of both desserts, both can be a cake in a certain way.
It's true.
Enough. And cake is such a powerful dessert. You can have chocolate cake and like you can have a chocolate cake and then augment it with so many things. A little bit of like coffee in your chocolate cake. I don't even like coffee and it tastes so good with just a little bit of coffee to bring out that chocolate flavor.
Yeah.
But you could also have like an ice cream cake, which is fascinating. It's not a real cake, but...
But you could have a chocolate ice cream cake, right? And that's even better. That's the thing. Like chocolate augments everything she comes to, including ice cream.
It does just so much. Mm-hmm. Also fudge, also brownies. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Brownies are my actual favorite dessert, especially. Are you a fudgy or a cakey?
I am a fudgy brownie person.
Hell yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
Gotta be fudgy.
Yeah.
And like, look, blondies, I have tried with blondies because I love that. Like, you can get that fudgy texture with other desserts, but like the brownie is just, I think, is just forever going to be better.
It's so good.
A blondie.
It's so good. Yeah.
So all this said, there's so much to think about. I'm sad that I've rushed over chocolate so much, but my goodness, I'm just going to go back for a sec to the joy of a hot chocolate. A hot chocolate with whipped cream on top.
Oh, yeah.
A hot chocolate that, like, you can have them thick, you can have them thin. I just had the Mexican-style hot chocolate, whose name's escaping me. Oh, chocolada, I think?
Maybe. Oh, I only know it as Mexican hot chocolate, but, like, so good.
Oh, so good. Oh, there's, so like, good. Mexican hot chocolate, and then there's also this, which is made with, like, a corn wheat, which, like, thickens it.
Ooh.
There's so many ways to have chocolate and to ingest chocolate, and it's just always going to be a winner for me. And as a result, chocolate has to move on. I'm so sorry, ice cream. I really want ice cream to make it to the end, but chocolate is just the winner in my heart forever. I'm sorry, ice cream, maybe next year.
I mean, and sometimes you have a close point margin, right? You know, sometimes you have to choose between two really good candidates.
Ultimately, you gotta choose between your babies.
We just gotta make those hard choices. And if I were Tom, I would say this was Sophie's choice.
I wasn't gonna say it. Kill your darlings is what we say.
Kill
in
your
the
darlings.
Arts community.
Yes.
Kill your darlings.
Yes. And now we have another choice, perhaps not quite as emotionally fraught, but still a tough one.
Still a challenge.
It's the struggle of the starches. Potatoes versus rice.
Wowie zowie. Potatoes versus rice. Now, this is another one in which Baby Dex also loved both these things, actually, including both these planes and both of these things in a relatively plain fashion. Growing up, I loved me just a bowl of plain white rice. My God. And I can still absolutely devour a bowl of plain white rice.
Dex.
Yes.
I think we had this conversation last year.
Oh my God, did we?
I think you and I had this exact conversation about rice last year.
I totally forgot. We did. Oh my gosh. I can't remember what rice went up against.
I don't remember either, but I do remember. Okay, this is amazing. So now I really want to hear this. Now I really want to hear rice versus potatoes from Dex.
Oh man, this is phenomenal. A plain bowl of white rice I can still absolutely mess with. Nowadays, I love it with some furikake. No sauce, no nothing. Just that and some delicious seasoned rice topping. So good. Potatoes doesn't exactly have a precise equivalent because you can't, like, you gotta do something other than just boil your potatoes a little bit. Like, you gotta do something. Mm-hmm. But the joy of potatoes is there's so many things you can do with it right out the gate. After you boil them, that's when you decide, am I gonna mash them? Am I gonna julienne them? Am I going to fry them? Am I gonna make them in a bunch of little pillowy fondant potatoes? What am I gonna do here? And am I gonna turn them into breakfast fries? My gosh.
So good.
Every single option with a potato is so exciting. You just put it in the oven, put it over the barbecue, and like you smear some goodness on there, some fatty butter, sour cream.
Yeah.
Chives, like there's so many ways to do a potato. And of course, there's so many ways to do rice that I'm like constantly learning about as well. Like glutinous rice flour mm-hmm. has so many exciting uses that, like, I'm learning more and more about. Like, you know, you got all kinds of forms of mochi, of rice cakes. I finally had for the first time the Korean rice cakes, whose name
the ones on the stick?
Starts with a K?
No, tteokbokki.
Yeah, no, they're not on a stick.
Not
tteokbokki? Oh, yes, those.
Yes, tteokbokki. They can be on a stick or they can be not on a stick. Those are one of my favorite things in the world.
Oh my God, I can't believe I had them for the first time this weekend and I just devoured a whole bowl of them.
Was it one of the, the little, like, they're almost like a noodle?
Yeah, they're these thick noodles, like a few inches long. Oh,
there's a place,
just a bowl of sauce.
In our neighborhood that also sells the, like, street food style tteokbokki, which is, like, you get them on a stick in, like, a sweet, spicy sauce, and it is so good also. So, yes. So with you on tteokbokki.
So good. There's like so much you can do with rice. And of course, like, talk about the battle of the starches. Both of these things pair so, so well with other foods. They're rarely the stars themselves, other than, like, I don't know. To me, potato is a star by itself, frankly. Yeah.
Always, like, a star in my heart.
And then rice does get to be more so in, like, desserts, especially in, like, mochi. Oh my God. Like... Oh, or like daifuku, I think is what it's called. Like, where you have the strawberry wrapped in mochi. Definitely getting that wrong. It really does so much. And, like, with a nice sauce, like, you can do phenomenal things with rice. My goodness.
Also such a big fan of rice pudding. There's, like, Middle Eastern rice pudding that you make with cardamom and saffron and rose. It's absolutely, I'll make it for you sometime if you come visit. Ooh. It's, like, absolutely wonderful.
Oh my God, please. I've never had rice pudding in my life, actually.
Oh my God. Okay. So that's another really delightful side of rice. It's extremely comforting.
But then you have potato, which also does all of those things.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so many ways to do it. Like, French fries were, like, my, like, comfort food as a child. And there's like, I think French fries are still one of my favorite foods. I love French fries.
You can't really, like, beat French fries. Like,
you really can't.
You can't, like, yes, you can fry rice. There are ways to, like, even do, you can do, like, you get the tadig.
The rice cakes.
Like, Iranian tadig, you get, like, crispy bottom on the rice. Or, like, like, there's ways to get that crunch, but it's not quite the same.
It's
not quite the same as deep frying a potato. There's a special magic that happens with deep frying a potato.
Oh my God, is there ever? It's so beautiful. And, like, I just can't say enough about how much I love a good potato, just about anything. Like, it's so good. And one thing that you can also do with potatoes is, rice has its mochi, you can also have potato mochi.
I didn't know. Like, I guess that makes sense because potato starch, but, like, that never occurred to me.
It never would have occurred to me until I played Pokemon Legends Arceus, and then that's the only food in, like, the entire game, and I had to make it, and holy crud. Holy spud, actually.
Ah, holy spud!
It was so good. You mash up your potatoes, you add your potato starch, and then you, like, fry it in this delicious sweet and salty sauce with, like, a little bit of seaweed paper, and, like, oh my goodness, it was so good. I'll send you the recipe that I used because, wow,
that sounds it's heavenly. Phenomenal.
yeah And I think that, like, the existence of potato mochi, without that, this would be a really hard decision. But I think that is the thing that tips the scales towards potatoes' favor. Sadly for me, I love rice. I love it so much. But I think my vote just has to go for the beautiful, unassuming, can grow in Matt Damon's poop on Mars potato.
This is, I have to confess that I am a member. I am a member of an unofficial potato cult among my friend group. I don't even know if I could speak about this publicly. I might get in trouble.
Oh my God.
But anyway.
Oof, we'll put you into witness protection after.
My first thought was just hail Mother Potato, which is what we say.
Mm.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. And it is, again, it is a tough battle. And this is, again, one that I think people will feel very strongly about. But I think ultimately when you have a choice between two comfort foods, it comes back to which one is your comfort. Right? Like, which
one?
Personal. Yeah, it's very personal. That's why we have external judges coming in and making these decisions for us. And so thank you for coming in and making this decision so that I did not have to.
Thank you. I feel absolutely blessed. All of these choices were so goated, like absolute props to all of these choices, and may they all make it to the end.
But just they're all four. Winners in our hearts. I know, I wish this was the final four. That would be beautiful. Like oh my God.
This would be a good final four.
I also feel like this year in 2024, Munch Madness, people are really going for comfort food. Mm. But like in past years, we've seen a lot of leaning towards like simplicity, like bread, cheese. I feel like this year, people are leaning a little bit more in a treats direction. That's my prediction for how 2024 is going to go. And I'm really curious to see how it goes.
Yeah. I'll be very, very curious. I'm sad the charcuterie boards are out, but there's a lot of beauty remaining.
I mean, it was up against chocolate, you know? There's only so much. There's only so much you can do there. Yeah.
And thank goodness that chocolate has made it this far. So
I mean, I think chocolate has what it takes to make it all the way.
It's time to dethrone bread. All I care about is we have to dethrone bread. We can't have another bread win.
I think you're not the only one. I think that is like bread is now decidedly not the underdog and people are mad.
Bread is too much of a powerhouse and we can't stand for it. It's time to stamp it out.
Okay. Let's go stamp on some bread. Dex, thank you so much for being here. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to plug?
Thank you so much. I make Pokemon foods every single week. I post them all over the internet on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, TikTok. You can follow me everywhere as Cupcake Dex. And also, if you want to watch me actually make those foods live, we stream on Twitch every single Sunday night starting around 8 p.m. Or if you want to just get a fun little like review, the sort of overview of what we've made in a month, we've just started the Cupcake Dex Connoisseur newsletter.
Oh,
if you'd
my
like to
God.
Subscribe over on Substack.
I love that. You. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Very exciting.
So Dex voted for chocolate and potatoes. I have mixed feelings about this one. I would love to see ice cream move forward because it's mine, but I do love chocolate. Like, I'm not going to be upset no matter who wins today. All four of these guys are winners in my books.
And again, we're seeing that vote for versatility, both with chocolate and with potatoes. This really seems to be what the people want in 2024.
We'll see. We'll see. It's still anybody's game. Let's not throw out our ice cream and our rice just yet. Before we throw it to our second judge, let's go to the mid-roll and tell the fine folks at home how they can support the show.
So if you're enjoying this show so far, please make sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on so you don't miss any new episodes. This is especially important right now because you don't want to miss an episode of Munch Madness. While you're at it, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with a friend. For every new rating and review we get during the month of March, we'll be donating $2 to The Depot, our local food bank here in NDG. They can turn every $1 into $3 worth of food for a family in need. So by doing the simple free act of leaving a rating and review of this show, you're functionally donating $6 worth of food to people who need it. There's literally no other way to turn zero into six. So if that math is exciting for you, if you want to create something from nothing, go do it. You can read all about what The Depot is doing at the link in the description of this episode.
If you join our Patreon, you get access to our exclusive newsletter, the No Bad Food Recipe Club, and our Discord server, where we post new recipes for you to try out and share with your friends and family. Plus, patrons are invited to participate as guest judges on Munch Madness, and we're running out of Munch Madness episodes for you to participate on. So if you want to do that, you better act fast. We'll do our best to make it happen. If you aren't already a member of our Patreon, please consider joining up at patreon.com/nobadfoodpod today. And if you are already a member, maybe consider upping your pledge by a certain amount. If you do, we will love you eternally, and we will also move your name further up the list.
It's true. It is. You can actually buy your spot in the shout-out list.
It's true.
Many things to think about.
Yeah. Increase your pledge amount, and we bump you up slightly on the list. And then we say your name that much sooner.
All right, let's hear from Caddy.
Good idea, buddy.
Our second guest judge today is Caddy Diop, a frequenter of this show and other shows we have been on, person about town, and improv teacher, which I probably should have said first. Caddy, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my goodness, you are welcome.
It is always fun to be on mic with you and also in person with you. I just like you a lot.
Ditto.
Today on Munch Madness, first of all, I don't know if you've been following along, but Munch Madness this year is stacked.
Yep.
We have had absolute heavy hitters in the ring. And today's matchup is no different. We have two dessert icons and two starch icons duking it out for food of 2024. We're going to start off today with the dessert heavy hitters. Chocolate versus ice cream. Where do you stand on this?
Oh, Teffer, this is a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hard one. These are two magnificent foods. However, I land on the chocolate side.
Okay.
I firmly land on the chocolate side, yes. I am a big fan of ice cream. However, I am team lactose intolerant, which kind of simplified it. However, there are now some vegan ice creams that are at par with regular degular ice cream. I'm thinking anything made of a coconut base,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes an oat milk base, mm-hmm. or an almond milk base. But there is still some ways to go to reach the sort of cataclysmic impact of chocolate. You know, like the day you're just not doing great and you put a really nice piece of like a nice dark chocolate,
mm-hmm.
like maybe like a 65-70% cocoa chocolate, like you just let it melt on your tongue. There is something that happens in my brain that makes things a bit more okay and easier to stomach. Yeah, I think chocolate just hits the spot perhaps a bit faster, a bit more to the point than ice cream for me.
Chocolate is a little bit more like the little like zappy paddles when you have a heart attack. And ice
Correct.
Cream is maybe more like the saline drip when you're recovering.
I love that analogy so much. I need a saline drip of vegan ice cream every once in a while, but
yeah.
I do generally need a good shocker to the heart and a nice little square of chocolate or a chocolate bar or a chocolate, you know, like a chocolate product.
Yes.
Like, and the thing is that like you can make all sorts of incredible things with chocolate that are salty or savory or sweet. And so, you know, like chocolate is kind of superior because you can make mole from it,
mm-hmm.
and chocolate cake, obviously, perhaps one of the most important foods in my brain.
I agree,
and all the things. So, yeah.
I've got to say, I tried an ice cream mole once. It just did not hit the same way. Not the same impact, just poaching chicken and ice cream.
Oh, that's a choice.
All right. I have to say, I have been seeing on TikTok a lot people ordering cocoa beans and making their own chocolate, processing their own chocolate. And it scratches something deep in my brain. And I now feel kind of like I will never rest until I've done that.
That sounds like such a fun endeavor, but I wonder about the mess factor. But I think that it is a fun, like, science-y, like, kitchen situation.
I think it's probably not like bread. Like, I don't think I would just like commit to always making my own chocolate, but I feel like it would be a fun, like, it would be like a fun project to do one time, you know? And of course, like, then my little survivor brain is like, in the future, when everything is shipped by sailing ships because our infrastructure has collapsed, maybe it will be easier to get cocoa beans than processed chocolate.
And listen, if you are the person who can supply cocoa butter, which is at the center of making chocolate, but also a really good skincare regimen, you will be safe and fed during the zombie apocalypse.
It's true. It's true. Get yourself a stock of cocoa butter and shea butter, and you will be king. All right. I have two final questions for you in this particular matchup.
Okay.
First of all, what is your go-to vegan ice cream? Because I want to know.
Okay. So my go-to vegan ice cream is, so if I am purchasing it in store, I am very much team Ben & Jerry's vegan ice cream.
Okay.
Also because I love Ben & Jerry, period. But if for Montrealers, there's an incredible spot called Iconoglast. that makes like old school kind of like soft serve ice creams. They change them, like there's twists, and they change them every couple of weeks during the summer, and it's exceptional. And everything that they make with dairy, they then have a vegan counterpart. There is no sacrificing flavors or anything like that. So that is 100% my favorite in-person ice cream situation. I think last year I had a like roasted banana with like a bit of a rum flavoring. Oof. With like a dark chocolate as a swirl and like in a cone, and it came with like little chunks of brownies. Oof. That made my summer.
Which part of the city is this in?
This is in La Petite Patrie, so just a little bit east of Little Italy.
Yes, I used to live in La Petite Patrie. That is a good piece of data that I will squirrel away in my little brain.
Absolutely. We'll have to go this summer.
Absolutely. Let's do it. We can hit Jean Talon and then go get ice cream. Second question I have for you. What is your go-to emergency chocolate?
Yes, this is very important. So my go-to emergency chocolate is 70% cocoa dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. That is something that is always in my fridge, preferably without anything in it. So really just the chocolate. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, in a pinch, coffee crisp. Sorry to our American friends who don't get to enjoy the treat. Mm-hmm. So I think that it is that. Coffee crisp is like the close second. In case of an emergency. Generally, if I'm PMSing, if someone hands me a coffee crisp, they win all the brownie points with me.
I'm also squirreling that away in my brain. I've got to say that as a high schooler in the U.S., I had friends who went to summer camp in Canada. I think because it was cheaper, a lot of people went to summer camp in Canada. And they would always come back like at the beginning of the school year with their stash of coffee crisp. Like this was like the thing. They would all come back and they would just like stock up on Canadian snacks. And like if you were lucky, maybe they'd share them at the beginning of the school year.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a good chocolate bar. I have like a very clear memory as a like as a young child kind of during Halloween doing the like candy bargaining at the kitchen table with my older siblings. Now, I'm very much younger than my siblings, so I definitely lost in those in those exchanges. But I always ended up with a satisfactory stash of coffee crisp.
Good.
For which I probably gave too much away, but it was such a pleasure.
Absolutely. I love that for you. So that is Catty Diop voting chocolate. And I can tell you, Catty, because you are our second guest judge, this does mean that chocolate will be progressing and ice cream will fall off the cone and melt on the sidewalk.
It's just not accessible enough.
It's sad, but true.
Too many of us are struggling with dairy. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. But to a worthy opponent.
Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to go up against chocolate. I mean, it's just hard to go up against chocolate.
That's fair.
Our second matchup, similarly difficult, although with very different food, at least in my opinion, similarly difficult. Yeah. Maybe you feel differently. And this is potatoes versus rice. Now, potatoes often show up in Munch Madness, and rice is a hardcore fan favorite. People have been clamoring for rice in Munch Madness. I think you are one of the people who has clamored for rice in Munch Madness, in fact. So I'm curious to see which way this one goes, but also I find it so interesting that with the brackets being what they are and how things have progressed, we have these two real like comfort starches facing off against each other.
Yes, and especially now that I've tasted a potato risotto, I'm like starch on starch. It does make it very complex to make a choice between the two of these. These are two foods that are at the base of my favorite dishes in general. Rice, because I am of African, West African descent, and have Senegalese, have Guinean, so rice is basically my pasta or my potatoes. But the thing with potatoes is the versatility, you know, and you can't discount that. It is maple season here in Quebec, and like potato donuts soaked in maple syrup. Oof. One of my favorite treats in the universe. So it's a really hard choice. However, I am able to make a choice, which tells me that it's not that bad. And my vote obviously goes for Team Blake.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, I think when it comes down to it, when it's your childhood, like, cuisine, when it's your childhood comfort food, when it's exactly. something you've eaten at every meal, it's hard to let go of.
It's so good. And it's so versatile. There are rice dishes on every continent, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. when you think about it, like, granted, there are probably potato dishes from every continent as well. But
think rice isn't as broadly indigenous. Like, I believe there's types of rice indigenous to everywhere.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The varieties, and I mean, like, I'm super curious about the way that, like, there's, like, with potatoes, there's some really interesting stuff that I'm learning about now, like, how they ferment them in parts of South America, I think in mm-hmm. Bolivia, and, like, or cook them, like, under stones, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But a bowl of rice will always win. Mm-hmm. It will always win. Rice with egg, rice with, like, any type of stew, rice with just rice with butter, honestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Rice is life.
Rice pudding is something that I keep bringing up because Middle Eastern, like, we do that.
This is where you lose me.
Okay, no. Have you ever had, like, an Iranian rice pudding, though, with, like, cardamom and saffron?
Yes, I love the flavor. Yeah. But I will admit, sweet rice speaks to me a little bit less, but that's just because culturally I'm just not used to it.
You know, I can get that because I think if somebody was like, here, it's macaroni with sugar, I would be like, what are you talking about?
Yes, like yeah. the Elf spaghetti.
Yeah. What?
In the movie Elf.
Oh, Will Ferrell, I have never seen Elf.
Makes, oh, worth okay. the detour.
Okay.
Makes spaghetti and puts a bunch of sugary things in there. It's horrible.
Okay. Well, I like seeing you show up for rice. And I had a hunch.
Thank you.
I had a hunch that you would. And this does actually put us in a tie for potatoes and rice, which I'm actually really happy about because I like throwing this one to our listeners.
Yeah.
Because these are like, they're both such, I don't know, I feel like they're both such personal dishes. Like with our other judge, it really was like, she loves rice, but she was like, for potatoes, it's the versatility. And then I love you coming in and being like, well, with rice, it's the versatility. There's so much you can do with it. And I think that's what makes these two such a tricky choice and such also just like so well matched, right? So I'm excited to see what our listeners have to say about it. And, you know, I know who I'm rooting for. I know who you're rooting for. Yeah. But really, we'll just see who the community is rooting for.
The people will speak.
The people will speak. And I'm excited about this, too, because rice was listener's choice. I'm just like, you know, you all selected these. You all wanted to see these. And now it's your chance to decide who's going to go forward. And it's just more exciting that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exciting. I can't wait.
So thank you so much, Katty, for joining
You're
me
welcome.
And for helping us make these decisions.
Anytime.
Before I let you go, enjoy your weekend. Is there anything you want to plug to the people?
Yes. However, I am not 100% sure. I will send you the dates. I've got a couple of storytelling shows
okay.
coming up, one on April 17th. And I will send you the information to add to your show notes.
Sounds fantastic. So look in the show notes to see Katty tell stories. You don't want to miss it. She's so good at it. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Well, there we have it, folks. Katty voted for chocolate and rice, which I'm not surprised about because she has advocated for rice on the show in the past, and I think she's lactose intolerant.
Yes.
So
she
this makes
as,
sense to
as
me.
Thoroughly covered in that she is lactose intolerant and possibly the president of the Rice Fan Club.
There we go. So that means that chocolate will be moving on to the semis. Ice cream had its shot, and, you know, it's okay. I think I would have been grouchy if ice cream had lost this thing to citrus.
Yeah.
But I'm totally fine with it losing to chocolate.
I mean, I do feel like there's a little bit of a seasonal advantage also with us doing this in March. You know, it's less of a, maybe we would have seen different results in July.
Maybe.
But honestly, you know, I think it's an honest win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited to see where chocolate goes from here. It'd be fun to talk about chocolate for a year. Let's be real.
Oh, man, I would love that. I hadn't even considered that yet. That would be so much fun.
Right? There's
so many types.
There's a 20. 24% chance that we'll have to talk about chocolate for the rest
of
the year.
Ooh, I like those odds.
This also means that we have another tie and that the fate of potatoes and rice is now in your hands, listeners. Your hands.
Everybody who has pleaded with me to give rice a shot, demanded why rice has not made it to the final four, argued that rice is one of the most eaten grains in the world and a pivotal part of so many childhoods. Now is your time. I want to see you in the polls because, listen, if rice doesn't go forward at this point, that is on you.
Yeah, it's
alternately
your fault.
Members of the potato cult, I know some of you are listening. All hail Mother Potato. It's your time to get to those polls and vote. And I just don't want to hear anymore from either of you.
We don't want to hear it.
I'm so relieved that this went to a tiebreaker because the accusation, the lies, the rumors, and the conspiracies have taken their toll on me.
Truly, truly. On that note, thank you so much for listening to No Bad Food. Do you want to join the conversation? Hit us up on the socials at No Bad Food Pod and individually at Tefferbear and at Tom Zalatni. If you like this episode and want to help us make the show even better, head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and donate. For as little as $1 a month, you'll be joining the ranks of fine folks like
Chantal H, Gab, Erica, Andrea, Chantal D, David, Mallory, Sarah, Carolyn, Rachel, Aslam, and Anne.
Good job. Our patrons get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability to request topics or episodes of the show and have their names read, sometimes by Toby, usually by us. If that's exciting for you, head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and make it happen. It's also the best way to get invited to be a guest judge on the show. So, you know, do it.
We also have merch. You can hit the merch link in the description of this episode to get all sorts of great stuff from our friends over at Podcavern. You heard me shout out to Strawby Bobby Hoggy Doggy today. That's just a little reminder that you can get that on a bucket hat. You can get that on a shirt. You can get it on a bag and have people ask you, what is Strawby Bobby Hoggy Doggy? And you can be like, wow, that's sad for you.
Or take the opportunity to, you know, tell them about our podcast.
I felt like that was implied.
I just, you know, don't just shame people for not having heard the show. Do something to correct it.
All right. And of course, you can support us for free by leaving a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice and by sharing this episode with a friend. Our theme music is by Zach Fiddledee Potatoes Ingalls, and our cover art is by David Rice Flam. You can find links for both of them in the description of this episode.
And last but not least, the show is produced by Tom Zalatni, that's me, and Tefra Jemian, that's you, and edited by Tom Zalatni, that's me, as part of the Podcavern Network. You can find out about all the great shows on our network at www.podcavern.com. We'll see you next week, and in the meantime, remember,
there's no such thing as a bad food.
Good job, buddy. You understand. It just takes a little time. It takes a little time. It takes a little time with me. I hope you don't mind. We'll take it slow this time. No Bad Food is a proud member of the Podcavern Network. For more great shows like this one, head to podcavern.com.
Hello, folks. I'm Katie.
I'm Vinny.
And we host the Learn Real Good podcast.
It's a comedy podcast about science.
It's also a science podcast with comedy.
Each episode, we interview a science grad student about their research.
And we keep it casual, so you don't need to be a nerd to follow along.
We also share some of the latest science newts.
I think you mean the latest science news.
Well, people need to hear more about amphibians.
Well, I agree with that. So look us up on your favorite podcast source and
Learn Real Good. Presented by the Podcavern Network.
Close enough.
What Mega Man boss would make the most terrifying kaiju?
I, for one, want to be the first to welcome our new kaiju overlords.
How would Adam Sandler fit in the MCU?
I injected myself with the Green Goblin serum. Oh!
Debate This is a podcast that asks the questions about your favorite video games and comics that no one is asking. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you download podcasts. and on social media at DebateThisCast.
None of that is mind control.
It's so close.
It's not so close.